answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, NBC News has learned more than 50 migrants with potential ties to an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network are at large in America. Many illegally crossed the border and were released into the U.S. by Border Patrol because there was no information suggesting terror ties at the time. Now, their whereabouts are unknown as immigration agents look to arrest them, U.S. officials tell us, saying they're among a group of over 400 migrants DHS identified in the U.S. from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Moldova, Kyrgyzstan, Georgia, and Russia as subjects of concern because they were brought to the U.S. by an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network.
And, of course, that is all part of what is happening on Joe Biden's watch. Now, I know in preparation for the debate tomorrow night, they've been over how you're going to answer the illegal question. And I know he's going to try to put you all back in the box that we have a massive immigration issue we must resolve. That's apart from illegals coming across our border. Those in the country now, even if they came in on his watch, that's one issue. But if you don't shut the border fully and entirely, which we still have not done, I don't care how they try to picture it and paint it for you, that while we have restrictions in place, it's all a lie. We still have illegals coming across on a regular basis. And later in this very segment, you're going to hear a report from a whistleblower says you're getting a lot of gang members being released from Venezuelan jails to come here, just as Trump had predicted when he was facing this issue. He said a lot of these countries, they're not going to be sending us their best. They're going to be sending us rapists, criminals, killers, and sure enough, we've got many of them inside our border now, and more coming, as long as the Biden administration has its control over the border, which is zero control. We're going to break it down for you in more detail in a moment, but that report from NBC last night, more known ISIS terrorists inside our nation, and we don't know where they are. You can bet they're not at Camp David. That's the only sure place you could say they are not. So far. Thanks for joining us. This is our number one of Larry Connors USA. We're on here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. This is June 26, 2024. If you missed our opportunity to meet and greet last night at the Saving America 2024 with Joel Griffith and Zach Smith at the Heritage Foundation, I'm sorry you missed out. We had a great crowd. Appreciate all of you who came out. Thank you for your comments, your support. Spread the word. And don't forget, at Johnny's Hideout tomorrow night in High Ridge, we have a debate watch party. Now, that's going to be also a lot of fun. But I remind you, when we're on the air with you right now, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, or you go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss any part of the program, audio and or video, or you want to go back and replay it and listen to it again, watch it again, LarryConnorsUSA.com. Or Larry Connors USA Facebook. Everything goes up as a podcast after the radio broadcast is complete. A lot of folks come along and say, ask me, how's a podcast? This is not a podcast. It's a radio show. Podcast is a buzzword for a lot of people. You don't make any money on a podcast unless you are a really big name or you're backed by major, major money. But we still appreciate you listening and watching to the podcast if you can't be with us as we're broadcasting, not only for this program, but all the other programs on News Talk STL. They're all available for you. So with these terrorists, as you were hearing from NBC, they're everywhere, and yet no one knows where they are. And these are actual terrorists, designated ISIS terrorists. We have caught some a couple of weeks ago, but we know there are more inside. And when I say we know there are more, We just talk about a specific number that they identified. We don't know how many they have not identified. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik says it's not just the southern border.
Just last night, we heard that Joe Biden had released over 400 illegals with ties to ISIS into our country and that over 50 of them are still roaming free. This is a national security risk and a direct result of Joe Biden's failed far-left Democrat open border policies. In my district in upstate New York in the North Country, the northern border has seen record illegal crossings, including individuals on the terrorist watch list.
Individuals on the terrorist watch list. Is that the person you want living next door to you? Is that the person you want walking down the street when your kids are out on their bicycle just having a fun afternoon? Dr. Phil had on his program a whistleblower about how many have come across and from where, and this is going to take a few moments to hear entirety, but when you listen to it, it's going to be very clear to you. We've got major issues, and they're just beginning now to surface.
The DHS has acknowledged that Venezuela, for example, is emptying their prisons and their rehabilitation centers with the understanding you get out if you leave here and go to the United States.
Yes.
And DHS has, in writing, said, we know that's happening. We know they're coming here. We're processing them in and have no idea where they are.
Correct.
How many people are we talking about?
Millions. And just Venezuela alone.
We're talking about in the last 2 or 3 years, we've had estimated how many people have come across the border.
My estimation, the official number I think is about 10 million.
Yeah, it's about 10, 11 million. Yeah, that's the official.
But my personal opinion, I think we're about 15 to 18 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're saying several million of those have come from Venezuela?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. Oh yeah, a lot from Venezuela. I mean, now they're coming from every single part of the world. Africa, New Guinea, Middle East, China, India, Syria, Yemen, Russia. You name the country, they are coming.
They are coming because the border is open. And they're rushing to the border now because if Biden loses the election, it'll take a few months, obviously, before Trump would be officially installed as president, but they will continue to keep the border open. As you well know, the story, if you haven't heard it in detail, it's sordid in so many ways, but it was this young girl in Houston, Harris County, Jocelyn Nungaray. The Harris County District Attorney was saying, we are seeing a great deal of violence committed by illegal immigrants, and the killing of this young child was, quote, bound to happen. He said, border prosecutors, sheriffs, local law enforcement are under tremendous pressure because of the additional crimes being committed by folks streaming across the border. Now, I want to caution one thing. Not everyone coming across the border is looking to come rape, kill, pillage, and so forth. They're actually looking for just a better life. But in the midst of them, if not the vast mess of them, are actually doing exactly what I just described. So the Harris County prosecutor added, Houston is a huge international hub here in the Southwest. We attract people from all over the country. So unfortunately, we're seeing a great deal of violence committed by illegal immigrants. We see many victimized by other illegals and regular people here, so it's an enormous problem. It was bound to happen. It's one of those things, as an elected prosecutor, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm just sickened that this little girl was innocent victim of these two monsters. And, of course, he's referring to the death of that young girl. He's made it very clear, as her family shouts out, calling them murder at the illegal alien accused of murdering their 12-year-old, her body found in a creek in Houston. They were released, he and another released from into the U.S. from the southern border, and they're charged with killing that young girl June 17, less than 10 days ago. Biden's legacy of illegals and the crime they bring and commit the inflation that is absolutely slamming our economy in the face, you and your family in the face. Biden's legacy of weaponizing the government against U.S. American citizens and political opponents. All that leads us to House Congressman pushing forward contempt against the AG, Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw.
The sad legacy of the Biden administration will be its lawlessness, weaponizing governments against its political enemies, using its power to protect itself, undermining the law for cynical politics. This administration has repeatedly circumvented the law, granting executive amnesty last week to around 500,000 aliens, stopping federally funded construction of the border wall, paroling millions of migrants into the country outside the parameters set by the Congress, which has killed Americans nationwide, most recently in my hometown of Houston. Hanging over the entirety of this administration is the fact that the president's son used his access to his father and his father's offices to enrich himself through foreign business dealings and artwork, where one buyer of Hunter's art was appointed to a U.S. government commission. While the Biden administration shields its own, it also targets regular Americans it dislikes. Gun owners with its unconstitutional ATF rules, parents at school board meetings labeled as threats by the FBI, and censorship of inconvenient information. This brings us here today. Congress, performing its oversight duties, has been ignored. Founders established a system of checks and balances, and that has been dismissed. Congress and the American people we represent have been disrespected, so we are here to say no more.
No more. So contempt of Congress being held against the Attorney General coming, and of course they're going to be pushing against DHS Secretary Mayorkas. And Texas Congressman Crenshaw admits this is not something you really want to see, something we shouldn't see, but it's the reality of today's world.
Will not stand by while the DOJ covers up information subpoenaed by Congress and refuses to comply with our vote holding the AG in contempt. It is not that the DOJ cannot prosecute Garland. It is that they're choosing not to because they wish to protect the president and his obedient lackey. And I understand that this sounds extreme. It sounds extreme to put the AG in handcuffs and drag him in here.
Yeah, it does sound extreme, but if that's what you're going to have to do, so be it. They would have no compunction doing it if the Democrats were going after a Republican legislator, prosecutor, whatever. They would have no hesitation whatsoever to slap cuffs on them, ankle chains, and a ball for them to carry ankle to their chain into the courtroom. All of these issues I've been talking about would be in play in the debate tomorrow if CNN and the moderators would be asking tough questions of Biden. Charlie Hurt with the Washington Times says that's not going to happen.
He's surrounded by 16 or 18 staffers trying to prepare him. Can you imagine Donald Trump being surrounded by 18 staffers telling him what he needs to say or what he needs to think? No. You know, obviously, you know, Donald Trump is one thing that he has no problem knowing is what he thinks. And when he gets in trouble, usually it's because everybody knows exactly what he's talking about when he says things. And he says things that, you know, the political set thinks you're not allowed to say. The problem for Joe Biden, and this is so clear, and they keep lying and trying to tell people that, you know, not to believe what you see with your own eyes. They try to act like that somehow Joe Biden is still with it. When he's talking, you can tell he has no idea what he's talking about. And when you look at the whole range of areas that he has destroyed around the world and in this country with his policies, it's more than just the fact that he's dropped the ball on everything because he's old. It's that he's not even in control of his government, and all of these actors within the government have free rein, and who knows what their motives are in trying to destroy all of these things.
Today there were, I believe, nearly 250,000 posts talking about Jake Tapper. He's been trending for 2 days on X, and not in a positive way. People pointing out that he's been so unfair to Trump, pointing out his statements. Do you think that weighs on him at all? Do you think maybe he will come out and try to play this straight? Because there is some pressure on him right now.
It would be great if he was, but I don't think that they care. I think that they get lauded, as you know better than anybody, they get lauded among their peers by being nasty and unfair. And it is going to be 90 minutes of ambush for Donald Trump. Mm. And but, you know, as we've seen throughout the past, and you've seen up close with him, he often does his absolute best. Yes. When everybody is trying to ambush him.
Yeah, he does. So he'll be firing from the hip. Now, what kind of demeanor should he have? Some say he should not be over the top, but at the same time, he's not going to let things go unchallenged. I'd like to see him also direct questions in as he's responding to questions from Tapper and Dana Bash, that he in turn flows back a question to Biden, say, Biden, what would you do about that? And see if he would get a response. I wouldn't count on it, but every time you can put Biden on the offense, that'd be the best thing. But as you were hearing Charlie Hurt say, they're surrounding him right now, just trying to make sure he's capable of holding up. Molly Hemingway agrees that it's going to be must watch, must listen to.
He's not just debating Joe Biden here. He's also debating the CNN moderators. That's actually very typical for a Republican candidate. You're not just going against your Democrat opponent. You're also almost always going against the moderator or moderators as well. So he's probably had a lot of time to think through what he did poorly in that first debate in 2020, what he did well in the second debate, and really probably understands the need to be presidential and definitely focus on policy. You know, I think this is where Biden is weak. He has a very bad policy record. People are talking about how old he is and how he's stumbling and mumbling, and those are really big problems, but the worst problems for him are his policies. A lot of this debate prep that we're seeing them go through, they're claiming they're doing these movies or policy briefings. They're probably just trying to get him on a different sleep schedule, make sure that his medical assistance that he might be getting, you know, he usually does pretty well on big moments. They're probably going to focus on that, but nothing is going to take away the actual record of his administration. And that's where Donald Trump shines, and that's where Joe Biden does poorly. So the more that they focus on the record and the policies, that is going to go very well for Donald Trump.
But look for Jake Tapper and Dana Bash to push January 6th, not the failures of the Biden administration. And make note of this, last night, New York's 16th Congressional District, a squad member was running for re-election, Congressman Jamal Bowman. He lost in his primary. That's the first primary defeat this year of a Democrat U.S. House incumbent, and he lost mainly because of the deep division within the Democrat Party between the Israeli-Hamas war. Bowman was seeking a third congressional term, and of course he was a member of the squad. Yes, he is the same congressman who pulled the fire alarm. I guess he's going to have to pull it again now for himself. We have a debate watch party scheduled tomorrow night at Johnny's Hideout. I hope you will join us and remind you we will be carrying the debate right here on News Talk STL as soon as this program wraps tomorrow night. And before the hour is over, or this program is over tonight, we're going to tell you about a space, not crisis, but an issue for a couple of our astronauts in space. I'll bring you up to speed on that. And coming up, Surgeon General thinking that maybe we should approach gun violence as we did with tobacco. What is that? You're going to put warning labels on guns? This could be harmful to you if you point it at yourself or someone else and pull the trigger? Is that what you mean? We'll look at that. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station. that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The other day, the Surgeon General, someone asked, why would he do that? I said, he's just building off of his ego is what he's doing. He started talking about social media, and he said, we need a warning label posted on social media that's, if you watch too much of this, it could be harmful for you and your kids, and we need to do like we did with cigarettes decades ago, put a warning on there from the Surgeon General, that would be me, and I can state that I put that warning label on. And then he said, we can also do the same thing to prevent gun violence. Now, well, what? You're going to put a warning label on a gun and say, this could be deadly for you if used incorrectly? Really? Huh. The idiocy of this administration continues to amaze me. Joining me once again, retired Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. She's with the National Police Association. Sergeant, welcome aboard again.
Hey, thanks so much for having me to talk about this this edict that came down Tuesday from the Surgeon General.
So I hear you laughing already about it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's bad. Look, the National Police Association is the most pro-Second Amendment police organization in this country. And we look at the list of what the Surgeon General wants to do. Obviously, he has a limited understanding of firearms, but he wants to ban automatic rifles, when you look at crime committed by quote-unquote automatic rifles, it's rare.
None.
I mean, you know, I think he meant semi-automatic, but again, somebody needs to take him to a range and teach him how a gun works. A gun is a tool. You know, he wants universal background checks. We keep having that. He wants to regulate the industry. Well, what exactly does that mean? We're one of the most regulated countries in the world. He wants to penalize people for failing to store their guns safely. Now, again, who's going to decide what's a safely stored firearm. You know, I have four kids. I was a police officer. I came home every day wearing a gun. None of my kids ever obtained my firearm without permission. None of my kids ever got hurt accidentally with my firearm. You know why? A, because I knew how to store them. B, because my kids knew how dangerous firearms were. A lot of people don't know this. About 20 years ago, the NRA had a program that we took into schools. A lot of police departments took it into schools. It was called the Eddie Eagle Program. We taught every kid in this nation, stop. When you see a firearm, stop. Don't touch it. Leave the area. Tell an adult. You know why that's not in schools anymore? Because the NRA got vilified.
Right.
This is crazy. You know, we have a gun problem in this country, a gun crime problem. It's not because of the guns. It's because of the vilification of law enforcement. It is because of the lack of prosecution of gun criminals. We just had a Philly police officer fighting for his life who was shot in the head a couple days ago. He was shot in the head by a man who was convicted of shooting at police in Puerto Rico about 11 years ago. Why is he back out and able to come to Philadelphia and shoot a police officer? We have a prosecution problem.
Oh, we do have that. There's no doubt about it. But based upon the Surgeon General's approach, if we just put a warning label on the gun, then everybody will know it's dangerous. Really?
Yeah. This is more of the politicizing of things like firearm, and this is more of the infantile nature, quite frankly, of this administration. We have 32,000 different street gangs in this country. They're responsible for a lot of the gun violence in this country. Do you think any of them are going to look at you're going to etch in a warning label that this could be dangerous? This is silly. It's infantile, and it does nothing.
Odds are they got their guns illegally anyway. And if you really want to get tough, I'd like to hear the Surgeon General come out and condemn Hunter Biden for lying on a federal form to get his gun. That's a violation right there.
Exactly. You know, nobody wants less gun crime more than American law enforcement. We've already had 24 cops killed by guns, 200 shots so far this year. But this is not the way to address it. We need to look at the prosecutors in this country and the judges. We need to stop vilifying law enforcement. And you know how all that can happen? If we vote in November, we vote out these insane far-left politicians who don't really care about crime in this country.
The Eddie Eagle program was a great success in many ways because some kids might want to bring a gun to school to show it off, and then when other kids would report them, well, then the gun was confiscated and the kid was dealt with one way or the other. And maybe they didn't do anything. Maybe it wasn't loaded. Maybe they're just trying to show off and be somebody special. But you never know. And at that point, even if one was found on the playground, the kids were supposed to stay away because you know how many times you've covered, and I've covered as well, stories that a kid picks up a gun and they really, before they know it, it goes off. And they're not even aiming at it. They're not even aiming at someone, and someone nearby gets the bullet.
Right. Absolutely. But again, understand this, that, the Surgeon General wants to talk a lot about kids who are killed by firearms. Only about 200 accidental firearm deaths involving children occur every year in this country. The vast majority of deaths that occur by firearm in people under the age of 19 are by suicide. I would like to see the Surgeon General acknowledge that and talk about the mental health crisis in this country just talk about the tool.
And you also mentioned the age 19 when they think of children. You're talking 18, 19. You're talking about young adults. You're not talking about children anymore. 17, 18, 19. I would say that you're no longer talking about children. They want you to believe 5, 6, 8, 9 year olds. And yes, those do happen. And they do happen in cases where homeowners, gun owners did not properly store the weapon or they keep it chambered and ready because they are also dealing drugs, waiting for somebody to come through the door, or they're just afraid of what's outside the door anyway, and they don't put the gun away and away from the child.
Gun owners need to be responsible, but that's very much a situational thing. You know, my kids are grown up now, so when, my firearms are readily available when I'm at home, but if somebody's going to bring a kid over, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to unload them. I'm going to lock them up. And most gun owners are very responsible people. Most, let me rephrase that. Most legal gun owners are responsible people. And what the Surgeon General seems to want to do is go after those legal gun owners instead of dealing with the criminals. Got to deal with criminals. Got to stop talking about decarceration and start punishing aberrant, violent behavior.
I grew up in a time, and I think it might have been crossing some of your time as well, where we went to high school. We had rifles and shotguns in a rifle rack in our pickup truck, and when right parked right there in the school lot, when we got off, we were going out hunting after each day. Nobody was taking guns and shooting people down. We knew you weren't supposed to do that. I mean, that's breaking a law, not just basically if you have the gun. And we were teenagers. We were 17, 18, and we were able to drive, and we had our own rifle or shotgun in our vehicle. It wasn't locked up, generally, I'll have to admit. And it may or may not have had a bullet in at the time, but, I mean, it was that, unfortunately, too casual of approach in many ways. But the culture difference between then and now is 180 degrees.
Well, you know, and a big part of that when you and I were kids was we didn't fool around with those firearms, especially at school and in public, because we knew the punishment would be severe.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem that we have now is you've got gang, you know, 13-year-old gangbangers doing armed robbery, and maybe they'll do a year in juvenile and be right out before they can graduate high school. There's your problem.
Yeah, and they graduate in the gang membership because they've got cred.
Right, we've got to start talking about street gangs. We just can't pretend they don't exist, or we can't call them, you know, you always see after these mass shootings, this is what caused the Surgeon General to talk about this. You know, two groups of people got angry at each other. No, two different gangs were fighting over territory and decided to unleash their firearms in a crowd of people. You know, we've got to stop with all this childish language, this naive language, and talk about real crime and stop politicizing it for the benefit of one side or the other.
When you look at the situation overall, as you said, when you consider the number of guns in this country, we've got enough for 2 to 3 guns for every person in the country. If guns were the problem, we would know that's the issue. It's the person and how they're using the weapon.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? Gun ownership has, you know, it increases a little each year, but generally speaking, it doesn't change much. It hasn't changed much in the past several decades. So again, it's not the gun. A lot of children, about 20,000 are hurt or killed in car crashes each year. Are we banning car crashes? Are we coming after the car manufacturers? No, what we're doing is punishing aberrant behavior. You know, let's talk about things like that. Let's talk about people who are reckless and criminal with their firearms. Let's start with gun criminals and go from there. And I want people to think about this. Do you want your government deciding how you store your firearm? You've got to think about what the role of government is in this country. Let's go for the low-hanging fruit and arrest the bad guys.
Absolutely. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith with the National Police Association. As always, we appreciate your time.
Appreciate you having me. Go to nationalpolice.org. See all the great stuff we do.
Absolutely. We'll promote it on our social sites as well. Coming up, the Biden administration claiming still, oh, we're doing just fine here.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car, truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So yes, you know, eggs and milk and there were grocery things that were up. It has gone down. It has gone down since 2022. Gas prices, because of the actions that this president took, and let's not forget there was an invasion, but Russia did obviously into Ukraine that caused gas prices to tick up. The president took action, tapped the SPR, and we saw gas prices go down. The president has met the moment with every issue that we have had in front of us.
No, I would disagree with that. That is, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre saying, look, grocery prices are better. Are they really? Wonder when she was last out shopping for herself. Janet Yellen got asked that question the other day, and she hem-hawed around and said, yeah, I see. And your financial advisor, as in the Treasury Department secretary, and you don't really see what's going on? Of course you do. You just think that the common people just can't figure out how to subtract what they need to pay their grocery bills from what they have and then see what they got left over. You don't have to be a math wizard to see that it has not worked. And KJP talking about, and then gas prices have come down. And remember, that kind of got spiked because of the Ukraine war. Why did we have the Ukraine war? Russia deciding it could go into Ukraine. Because of this government, this president, having no gonads to stand up and make it clear to them, as Trump did, we will not be dealing with this kind of stuff. We'll put a stop to it right away. Trump kept Russia in check. Yes, they had gone in Ukraine under the Obama watch, took Crimea, and Obama did nothing. So they thought, well, Biden is in now, which means Obama is still in control, so we can do it again. And this time they went in with more force. And the Biden administration, what they have been doing is just funneling more and more money, dumping it right into Ukraine, whether or not we can account for it. And yet, they will not give the weapons to Israel that Israel says it needs. And Israel is surrounded by enemies. I'm not taking away the fact that Ukraine is facing Russia, but Israel has enemies all around it, from every side. Well, they got the Mediterranean Sea to the west, but that's also an available spot for the enemies to invade, which they have tried to do. Oh, and then she also mentioned, with the gas prices, we saw the spike because of the Ukraine war. Take out everything I just said, complaining about Biden and Ukraine war. Just forget it for a moment. No, I don't want you to forget it, but let's put it aside. And then she said, but President Biden got things back under control. He got into our STP, our Strategic Petroleum Reserves, is what she's referring to. That is what it's there for when we don't have oil and gas producing that we need, which he shut down. And when you have a crisis somewhere that might affect your supply coming from elsewhere, then, yes, we do need to tap in. But unfortunately, this president taps in every time we get close to a big election. He is buying votes, or trying to. If you did that on the street, if you stopped someone going in a poll and say, look, I'll give you $20 if you vote this way, come out proof with that you do. That's buying votes. It's a crime. But not under this administration. It is a way to maintain control over the American people. Used car prices still way up. New car prices way, way up. That doesn't account for repairs and things of that nature. Your grocery prices obviously are up at every point. Your fuel prices are obviously up. And the only thing the Biden administration really has to say, you're being gouged. You're being gouged by these companies. Well, again, it's either a disconnect and not understanding of supply and demand does raise prices. That's a fact. But it's not like a hurricane is coming and everybody's trying to buy up basically lumber to board their windows and so forth. And the lumber company said, let's jack the price by 30 or 40%. Now, that's gouging in the face of a disaster, and that's obviously illegal. What they're doing here is they are passing on the costs they have to you. Are they maybe increasing a little bit above that? They might well be. But they wouldn't even be pushing it if they weren't in that situation. How many times do you see on one corner, three, maybe four stations on each corner? They got their signs up high as to how you can see what their lowest price is. And if one station sees the other one drop their average gas price down by 4 cents, even if they know those guys are probably losing money on that, they're getting traffic, they get them to go inside their store, and that's where they make more purchases. So they may, let's drop the price on our sign by 4 cents. So folks come along, they see two stores selling gasoline at $3.48 a gallon for regular, and the one across the road, both of them selling at $3.56. Where are you going to go? And then pretty soon the one $3.56 is going to drop theirs. But there reaches a point as to how far they could drop it, how much they could make up with folks actually going inside their store on the premises and buying things. That's really where they're making their money. But gas is being used as a loss leader in many cases. And then you go to looking at the cost of apartments right now. And they're building apartments upon apartments. You would think there would be such a flood of apartments that the cost would go down. It's not going down. It's still going up. And that is because the cost of housing is still escalating. So if you were thinking, well, I can't afford a house, so I'll have to get an apartment, well, then you're sucking up apartments. Maybe someone else, that's all they can afford. And maybe you could have bought the house, but you can't now. And here's another perfect example as detailed by CNN.
Home prices just continue to smash records. New numbers out today show that nationally, home prices increased by 6% year over year in April. We continue to see a situation where despite high borrowing costs, home prices go up and up. There's just not enough supply out there to keep up with all that demand. Some cities are seeing even bigger price jumps. We've seen a jump of 10% for San Diego, 9% for New York and Chicago. And listen, this just continues to be a divide between haves and have-nots, right? If you own your home, this is good news because it's boosting your net worth. But we know a lot of people are on the outside looking in. They want to buy, but they can't, not with these prices.
They can't, but let me add this to it. Mortgage rates just dropped for a third week in a row, but you still have home buyers a little reluctant to move at this point. Today's mortgage rates basically holding steady at this point for 15 and 30 year terms, but they still drop for a third week in a row. Last week, 30 year mortgages had average rates of 6.9%. A year ago, rates were 6.6%. Not as steep as it had been, but look where it had been at one point. Remember when mortgages were down to 3% almost. I'm looking at a Zillow study on homes and housing. They say households making a middle-class income must put down $127,000 to realistically afford the monthly payments. This is about 35% of a $360,000 home, which is the typical U.S. home right now. And a down payment of this size helps buyers pay no more than 30% of their income on mortgage payments. 5 years ago, many households could afford mortgage, monthly mortgage payments without putting any down payment on their new home. The Zillow chief economist points out down payments have always been important, but even more so now. You want a better rate, you want to get things down, whether you put more money in because you have less monthly cost. But where are you going to come up with all the money for the down payment? If the rates keep going up, even though the rates have dropped again, they're not dropping that much. They're not going back to where we were before Biden moved into office. Last month, according to one analyst, only 14% of consumers believe it's a good time to buy a new home, down from 20% in April. So if you've got a nice home, you're looking to sell it, it could be a good time to get a high price if you can find the buyer. But I don't know how great the deal is and how great the home is. If they can't afford it, it's not going to happen. Now, there are those that are smart enough that if they think if we can just make it happen now, we're sure the rates are going to continue to drop again. How much will be the question? And then when they do go down and everybody's trying to rush to get that house, we've already got it. We don't have to battle and the price is going up on the house. You want to pay more for the house, less for the mortgage. You want less of a mortgage, the price of the house will come down. Maybe. No, it'll go up because more people will be competing. There's a viral video going around on social media. It's mocking how far tomorrow night's debate will be and how fair it might be. And I'm going to stress this is a fake. It's still funny and maybe a hint of the truth. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hello and welcome to the first 2024 presidential debate hosted by CNN. I am Jake Tapper, and somewhere around here is my colleague, Dana Bash. I'd like to set the ground rules to this debate. First off, Biden is allowed to speak whenever he wishes. We will have commercial breaks whenever Biden feels the urge so that his needs can be taken care of. This may or may not include naps, energy boosts, or a snack such as ice cream. On the other hand, Trump is not allowed to speak unless spoken to, and if he interrupts Joe speaking, we're automatically going to deduct 10 points from Trump and Dore. As the hall moderator of this debate, I can call it off at any moment and declare it a complete victory for Biden. Where did Trump go? He was just here.
And in that closing of that AI-generated video with Jake Tapper and his mouth moving, saying those words with his voice, it's all mock, it's all fake. But in the end, then you've got a Trump-like person that charges on the set and takes him down and starts pounding him and then walks away. Trump's the victor. There's a little humor in there, and there's a little reality. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash tomorrow will be doing their best to undo Donald Trump and make Joe Biden shine. There's no doubt about that. If they want to prove to me otherwise, then they will ask very tough questions of Joe Biden each and every time. No more, what do you think of? How do you feel today? What's your favorite color? Crap questions like that. But when it comes to Trump, January 6th. And you're a convicted felon. They've already been pointing that out. As in one report yesterday from CNN, for the first time, we're going to have a convicted felon on the stage running for president. Well, they're right historically. They're correct historically. He is convicted at this point. So they can make that statement, but they're using it as a jab at voters who are undecided. Do you realize he's a convicted felon? Let us remind you of that again. Now, I also want to remind you that we have a debate party scheduled tomorrow night. As soon as I finish the program, I'll be there. And, of course, we'll be carrying the debate live right here on Newstalk STL as soon as my program wraps. But if you can, come out to Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge, because we're going to be having a hootenanny, basically, watching that debate. I don't think we can do any drinking games in the sense, because we would not be, we'd have to call ride shares or get relatives to pick us up, because if we're going to hit a shot every time Biden says, come on, man, no joking. If we start doing that, I'm not sure we'll get through the first 20 minutes. The question is, will Joe Biden get through the full 90 minutes? I still question them deciding that they would be doing it standing. Now, Biden was basically setting the rules with CNN. And remember, they had a coin toss to decide. You can either decide if you want to be where you want to be on the stage or if you want to be the last to speak. The Biden team and its idiocy decided, well, we want him on the stage on a certain place. That gave Trump this other option. Said, well, I'll take closing remarks. You never do that. You never do that. But they don't know what they're doing, and they're really not sure what they can do about Biden. Maybe they're afraid of what he'll say if he had the closing remarks. Wall Street Journal editorial board is declaring or deeming in their view right now that North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, I should say, is the best option to serve as Trump's running mate of all those being concerned. Now, again, Trump had said the other day, I have made up my mind about the VP, have not talked to them directly, but they're going to be there for the debate. Well, they cannot actually be in the hall because it's a closed room. No crowd or anything, but they'll be available for pool questions. Coming up, the danger a couple of our astronauts are facing in space, even as I speak. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.